Hello, I'm your host, Chelsea Snyder, and I'd like to welcome you to this Tox Chats podcast presented by the American College of Toxicology. Today I have with me Dr. Mary Beth Genter, the Editor-in-Chief of International Journal of Toxicology, or IJT for short. The two of us are going to talk a bit about the aims and scope of the journal, but we'll also touch on the process around submission and publication. First off, though, Mary Beth, I'd like to warmly welcome you to Tox Chats and was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your background and the path leading to your role as editor of IJT.
Well, Chelsea, it's an absolute pleasure to be here and I thank you for the invitation. So my background started off with a PhD in the Integrated Toxicology Program at Duke University. I then did 2 years of postdoctoral studies at the Chemical Industry Institute of Toxicology and was on the faculty at North Carolina State University for about 5.5 years. And ever since then, I've been at the University of Cincinnati. So how did I decide I wanted to become the editor? Well, it seems like I was always editing colleagues' papers, friends' papers. And when I saw in 2007 that ACT was seeking a new editor-in-chief for International Journal of Toxicology, I kind of jumped at the opportunity to edit manuscripts at the next level.
Wow, that was such a fantastic opportunity. So what exactly is the mission of IJT and how did the journal initially become created?
So IJT is the official journal of the American College of Toxicology, and it was really created to serve the publication needs of ACT members. The journal was founded by Dr. Millie Christian in 1982 and was originally called the Journal of the American College of Toxicology. After Dr. Christian, Dr. Bob Diener and Dr. Harry Haramahendali were editors. And so given the heavy concentration of industry toxicologists and consultants in the American College of Toxicology, it made sense for the college to establish a journal to publish industry-focused toxicology work. To this day, many toxicology journals do not publish papers that are not hypothesis-driven, such as safety assessments. So IJT has become sort of the home for this kind of paper. The journal was renamed International Journal of Toxicology in 1997. And in addition to things like safety assessments, we now publish practically any kind of manuscript you can imagine. And we have authors from around 50 countries submit manuscripts to us each year.
What an achievement. So how frequently does the journal publish and in what formats?
So we publish 6 hard copies a year, coming out approximately in February, April, June, August, October, and December. And we publish continuously online. So once an author returns his or her page proofs with corrections, it's generally on the order of a week until those become available as online publications. Most ACT members receive both the hard copy of the journal and have free online access. But there are members and other subscribers who opt to have only online access to the journal. They just don't want the paper. The current issue of the journal, all of our past content, and the forthcoming articles that are through the production process can all be accessed on the journal tab on the ACT website.
Great. This is such a perk of ACT membership. Would you mind going over what the submission and review processes entail?
So authors submit their manuscripts via our Manuscript Central portal. The web address is a bit cumbersome for a podcast, but if you've got a pen handy, you can write it down. So it's https://2/ then mc.manuscriptcentral, all one word, .com/UITO. So to facilitate a smooth submission process, have a few things ready ahead of time. So have a valid email address for all of your co-authors. And we prefer to have an institutional email address rather than say a Yahoo address. Also have 4 to 6 keywords prepared ahead of time because they will be entered online during the submission process. It's great if you can pick keywords that will help someone who's looking for a paper just like yours to find it very easily. During the submission process, there will be a box in the online submission site for you to paste your paper's abstract, but also leave the abstract in the paper. That's a common mistake that some of our authors make. The online site also asks questions about whether you wish to pay for color figures, if that's applicable to your paper, and for information about funding sources for the studies in your manuscript. One issue that is increasingly important in this era of predatory publishing is to ensure that individuals who are listed as authors of a manuscript, whether or not they should actually be listed as authors on the manuscript. So we have implemented the guidelines of the International Committee of Medical Journal Editors, which is abbreviated ICMJE, which includes four criteria. The first criteria deals with the individual's contribution to the manuscript with regard to designing or performing the experiment, analyzing the data, and so forth. The second criteria deals with who among the list of authors drafted the manuscript and who significantly revised the manuscript. There are two choices for each of the first two criteria. Criteria 3 and criteria 4 are mandatory for authorship and include confirmation that each author has approved the version of the manuscript that is being submitted and also confirms that they are responsible for the content of the manuscript. This is a long way of saying there's a form you have to fill out to document all of this. And this is an online form that's available from the drop-down menu that you'll use when you're uploading the various pieces of your manuscript. After your manuscript is submitted, I invite reviewers, or one of my associate editors invites reviewers. And the reviews are expected within 3 weeks of the reviewers accepting that invitation to review. Authors are given about a month to submit revised manuscripts, but if there are extenuating circumstances, I can extend that deadline for submitting your revised manuscript. Finally, upon acceptance of your manuscript, you'll receive an email to facilitate your completion of the copyright transfer process online. We don't require that as a paper form anymore. After that, the manuscript goes to production, and you should have proofs to review in 3 to 4 weeks. For about the past 18 months, we've been using an online platform for editing proofs, which is much quicker than the old way of putting sticky notes or changes in the margins that we used to deal with changes to page proofs.
Okay, great. So let's say someone is interested in submitting to IJT, but they aren't quite sure if their project is a good fit. What's their best course of action?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of reviewing our submission guidelines, which we actually officially call our author information document, because it contains so much more information than just the submission guidelines. Our author information document includes types of manuscripts that we do and do not publish, plus additional information about issues of where it is permissible to post your manuscript upon publication, for example. So I estimate that about 90% of the papers that I reject outright, which are called desk rejections apparently in the industry, which means they don't get past me. They don't go out for peer review. These are rejected because authors do not consult our author information and submit articles that are out of scope for the journal. For example, we do not publish papers that have an ecotoxicology focus. That's not because they're not important. It just turns out that there are other societies and other journals that are specifically tailored to that kind of submission. We also state in our author information that we do not publish papers that deal with chemo prevention or therapeutic intervention. So if you have a paper about an herbal extract, for example, that produces some sort of chemically induced nephrotoxicity, that's important. Obviously, that's important. But that's not the type of paper that we publish. So if they're sent to us, unfortunately, I just have to reject those manuscripts outright. Having said all of that, I'm really happy to discuss the fit or not of a potential submission with anyone anytime by phone or email.
Perfect. So can attending the ACT meeting also help interested individuals find out more about publishing in IJT?
Attendance at the ACT meeting is a great way. You can meet our publisher, you can meet with me, and I spend a lot of time at the annual meeting at our booth that we share with Sage, our publisher. And I love to discuss possible publications with people who are potentially interested in publishing with us. I also go through the poster sessions and try to talk to authors whose papers look like they, whose posters look like they might make good papers to publish in the journal. And so I'm very visible. The publisher is very visible at the ACT annual meeting. So yes, that's a great way to get more information about publishing in IJT. I pride myself on being very accessible. So if you don't catch me at the annual meeting, you can contact me by email anytime you'd like at marybeth.genter, that's G-E-N-T-E-R, at uc.edu.
Marybeth, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Talks Chats. All of your insight and advice about AGT have been extremely informative. For all of our listeners, make sure you keep an eye out for Mary Beth at the poster reception during ACT's 40th annual meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. Your work might just be the perfect fit for IJT.
This podcast was brought to you by the American College of Toxicology, whose mission is to educate, lead, and serve professionals in toxicology and related disciplines by promoting the exchange of information and perspectives on applied toxicology and safety assessment. For more information, please visit www.actox.org.